This is an
Get It In
special report. Now reporting.
Did you hear what Rosenberg said?
I don't want to be Jake Tapper.
ENM's at 6.
When the clock struck 6, it meant one thing.
Derrick Henry and the Purple Birds.
That's right. Oh, no.
Oh, no. What happened?
Now, from the ESPN New York News Desk, here's
Rosenbaum or whatever that guy's name is.
No wonder your show is number one.
Hey, everyone. Hi. Hello. Good evening and welcome to ENN. I'd like to start off today by saying good evening to Michael K.
You don't want gray hair on your pizza.
I'd like to say good evening to Don.
I don't want any color hair on my pizza.
And good evening to Michael.
Jab me, baby.
And to myself.
If the most you could give is $5 for a movie.
I'm sorry.
What was that?
You know darn well what that was.
It
was also the complete lack of trying to hide it. He gave it the extra hair.
Let me hear it one more time.
If the most you could give is $5 for a movie.
I'm sorry.
What was that?
Yeah, that was a bit much. I apologize. Hey, guys.
Yeah?
There's a lot to get to.
Let's do
it. And I mean a lot. All right? First and foremost, we talked about it earlier in the show, but is Blake Griffin going to Brooklyn? Griffin and the Pistons agreed to a contract buyout for the 6-time All-Star. He'll be an unrestricted free agent, according to Woj. Nets, Warriors, Heat, Blazers, all expected to be among the teams that the 31-year-old would consider for his next stop. He was owed $36 million this season, $39 million in 2021-22 prior to the buyout. So we'll see. Blake Griffin becomes that extra piece that basically, I mean, I already feel, I would say, I don't know how you guys feel. The number for me, Brooklyn, I think 75% they're winning the whole thing this year. What do you say?
I don't know if it's that much. It might be more if Anthony Davis doesn't come back, but if Anthony Davis comes back, I don't know if it's 75%.
But I'm factoring that in, that he might be gone. Because if he's gone, I'm upping it to 90.
Wow.
85. Find 85.
So you're sleeping on Utah and you're sleeping on the Clippers.
And the Bucks.
And the Bucks.
Yeah. And the Sixers.
Yeah, I was going to say, so you're putting it at 100% they're coming out of the East?
No.
You don't give the Sixers a shot? You don't give the Bucks a shot?
I give them a shot. And then I see if they have, if KD is back, and you have KD, Kyrie, Harden, Blake Griffin, Joe Harris, DeAndre, I've been very confident they win the championship. It's the three most talented players ever together on a team.
No, I understand.
And we're seeing that with two of them, they're becoming close to unstoppable.
Playoffs are a different animal, though.
True.
You know, and it'll
be. Are these three guys who don't have playoff experience?
No, there's plenty of playoff experience, but together.
But not together.
You know, and you look at Miami. Did you think Miami was going to lose to Dallas?
No.
And a lot of that had to do with the fact that, you know, they were good. They just weren't ready. Now, this big three is, you know, better scoring, and I think they're better overall than the big three in Miami. But, you know, I would probably put it at 60 to 65% with
okay.
a 75 coming out of the East.
Fair.
Because also
you got
to what's Durant's status? Is he going to be able to go
key.
Every single game in the playoffs?
If it's Durant, I could say 75%. But, you know, if Durant's hurt and all of a sudden you're sliding Blake Griffin in there, then I don't think it's 75%.
The All-Star game is this weekend, guys. Don't know if you're aware of that.
Oh, yeah. Sure.
Sunday night on TNT, and it's all in one. You're getting the All-Star game, you're getting the three-point shootout, the skills competition, the dunk contest. Andrew, do you know the full schedule, how the order is actually working?
The skills and three-point shootout is before the game. Then obviously the game happens, and then dunk contest is at the half.
Should be fun. Should be very fun. And by the way, Michael, you've really gotten me on board with the NBA using the HBCUs as eyewash. It's so driven into every commercial. and the game benefiting HBCUs. Don't get me wrong. It's cool. But $3 million?
It's their excuse. It's their go-to. We're doing this for TNT, but that's going to be a bad look. So, and it's good.
Yeah. Imagine if they did commercials. The NBA All-Star Game, so we can fulfill our commitment to TNT.
I would love that.
It's a great, these are great charities, very important. They're probably going to put a lot of emphasis on that, but you could have done even more. Like I said, you pass the hat around owners and players, you're coming up with more than $3 million.
Wouldn't you love it if they just came out and said, guys, we are doing this because everyone needs to make their money this year?
Well, or you don't have to say anything. Listen, I was on the NHL too. NHL's got how many different guys on COVID? The Devils had 19 players in COVID protocol. And then a few days later, you know, and Philadelphia had guys out, right, Andrew? And then as soon as they got a couple of guys back, boom, they went to Lake Tahoe. Why? Because NBC wanted to air those games in Lake Tahoe. And guess what? They got great ratings. And so it benefited NBC. I'm sure it was something they wanted to send because NBC's contract is up at the end of the year. They didn't say anything. They just did it. Right? Baseball is going to – we didn't talk about this. Baseball is going to have sponsorship for the league championship series in each league this year. You got to do what you got to do to make money. Pandemic world, man. Everybody's got to think outside the box. Get over it.
Yes,
so now, just play it.
A part of All-Star Weekend, I don't know if you covered, Peter, or if you're going to cover, it shows you the juice this guy has. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's the marquee event for TNT, that and the Western Conference Finals.
Mm-hmm.
Charles Barkley's not working this weekend because it's his daughter's wedding.
Oh, I'm glad you brought that up. Charles Barkley is taking off for his daughter's wedding. Well, because his daughter's wedding should not have interfered with All-Star Weekend, but it did right. Because of COVID.
Yeah, so what are you going to do? It's just one of those things.
It's his daughter's wedding. He'll do another All-Star. Right. I mean, listen, Charles Barkley doesn't have to worry about someone nipping at his heels. Okay? He's good. Here's Charles on with Jimmy Kimmel talking about preparation for his daughter's wedding and his concern around doing being a part of the chairlift in the Hora.
You look thin, by the way. Have you been getting in shape because of the wedding?
Yeah, you know, I've been really working out hard because apparently they got to pick me up in a chair. And
what? Oh, is her fiance Jewish?
Yes.
Oh, wow.
And, listen, I need all Jewish people on deck, brother. hey, Jimmy, I can only get so skinny by Saturday, man. I can only get so skinny, but it's like I'm in a soldier, all hands on deck.
I got to tell you,
he's legitimately funny.
Chuck?
Yeah, he's legit, like a comedian funny.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, no, Chuck's. Incredibly funny. He's gifted. I'll tell you what. I don't know if any of you can weigh in on this conversation if you have enough experience. I'm sure I would be sure Andrew does at the least. Lifting people in the chair at a Jewish wedding. If the other people involved are not focused, is the hardest physical act on earth.
We saw it at Andrew's wedding, right, Michael?
Yeah, and also at Rothenberg's son's bar mitzvah, right? They lifted the chair.
Yeah, I jumped in that. Fortunately, fortunately, Dave was light, and I have like this weird Jewish macho thing where I feel like I have to jump in. I have to be part of the lifting. Andrew, do you agree? Have you ever had an awful lifting experience where like someone's going light and it feels like you're going to die?
I've never agreed with you more on anything. I hate it. Yes. I mean, it's a fun tradition, but when I get, you know, if it's at a friend's wedding and like your friend's going up and people kind of push you and go, help, I feel pressure. I get nervous.
You have to do it.
Yeah.
You're a young man. You have to do it.
Right. And
God forbid.
No part. Like, you go in because you feel macho. I try to hide. I want no part of it.
There's got to be a video somewhere of, like, wedding chair fails.
Oh, I'm
well,
Don?
At my own wedding, I slid off the front. Somebody wasn't holding up their end, and I slid off the front of the chair. So we do have video of it from my own wedding.
And then after that, I don't know if you remember, Don, somebody made a speech for 48 minutes.
I think this has been discussed before on the program.
The very subtle, like, Andrew's got, like, here we go.
Yeah, oh, here we go, because he's heard it 1,000 times.
We can't now, bring up my wedding without it coming up.
Now, and Andrew, heaven forbid you're stuck on someone's chair who you know is heavy. So you kind of, and if you've done this before, you've lifted a chair before, and you see the heavy person sit in the chair, I do that look around where I'm like, what kind of muscle do we have here? And do I need to draft more? Because it is the hardest thing.
No, put it this way. If it was Charles Barkley, like the wedding that he's talking about,
I would
go to the bathroom at that time. So I could not get dragged into it. I would want no part.
So you would sit there and go, no, I'm good.
Yeah, I'm good. I'm out.
That's exactly right.
I would think, because Charles is such, he's not just big in the basketball community, he's big in the sports community.
Sure. There'd
be a lot of former athletes and current athletes at that wedding.
You know what?
No.
That's a good
way.
Point.
There's not going to be one current athlete there.
Why not?
There's no way.
How do you know that?
Maybe
because, not a current
NBA player.
First of all,
NBA a
lot player.
Of current athletes don't like him because he rips them too much.
No, but in the NBA,
big athletes
but he
are
knows.
All at the NBA All-Star game. The other ones want to have the weekend off. You're going to Chuck's daughter's wedding?
Yeah, but
not one.
But there could be pro golfers there. There
yeah,
could
that's
be
what
basketball
I said. Pro
player,
athletes,
I mean,
Michael,
players.
Not just NBA. He's a big golfer. He's a big fan of all the sports.
Yeah, I'm going to say nobody's there.
Oh, let's make a nice little friendly wager. There will be a picture of a famous current or recently retired athlete.
Recent retired. I mean, the golfers are working this weekend.
Golfers are working this weekend. You know what? Let's shift gears, but keep it All-Star. LeBron was on Inside last night, and he talked about Inside.
Oh, you don't say Inside the NBA.
I consider I'm on a first word basis with Inside.
Gotcha. Sorry.
So
it's in my bad.
LeBron is picking one All-Star team. Kevin Durant is picking the other one, and Donovan Mitchell and Rudy Gobert neither drafted. They both were the last two picks for the league-leading Jazz. Here's LeBron going back and forth with the TNT crew about not picking up the Jazz.
I just want to say something, because there's no slander. There's no slander to the Utah Jazz, but you guys got to understand, just like in video games growing up, we never played with Utah. Even as great as Karl Malone and John Stockton were, we would have never picked those guys in video games. Never.
LeBron, this is a video game.
Hold on. You can say something.
I got to say one thing. LeBron says, I really need some size. And he got 7'5" Rudy Gobert.
Right.
And he goes with 6'2" Sabonis. Are you kidding me? I need some size. Rudy Gobert is 7'5". He takes a 6'2" guy.
Nobody plays video games. I just knew he was going to go back.
Now, what's interesting about what LeBron said, so you never played the Jazz in your video games when you were a kid. Did you play the Milwaukee Bucks? No, but you took Antetokounmpo.
First.
Seems a little sketchy. Maybe he doesn't want to show love to the team that they're chasing.
Ah-ha! And also, does Donovan Mitchell remind anyone of the 1990s Jerry Sloan, John Stockton, Karl Malone Jazz?
No.
Like,
no, he doesn't even have short shorts.
Right. It's I get it. The Jazz were not a particularly cool team. Though I considered Mark Eaton to be quite debonair.
Have you ever seen the owner of the Jazz now? He just bought the team. He's like 42 years old, spiked hair. He's like a computer billionaire.
Computer love. You know who I bet knows him?
Who?
I bet we have a friend who knows him. I'll give you each one guess.
A friend that knows the computer guy.
I bet this show has a friend that is at least friendly with that person.
Benny Agbayani.
No.
Rich Kleinman.
No.
Ed Hospodar.
No.
Bob Manfred.
Steve Young.
Know. That's my guess.
Well, Steve Young doesn't live in Utah anymore.
But is the guy Mormon?
I'm not. But he lives in Utah. I'm not sure if he's Mormon.
If the guy is a Mormon, like billionaire in tech, I bet my life Steve knows him.
That's pretty bold.
Well, which part of it's bold? Because he may not be Mormon.
Life.
Well, betting your life. I guess you're right. And would that be worth it? What happened to Peter? Well, he just felt incredibly strongly. He volunteered it. We didn't even ask him to bet his life.
Then we had to snuff him out. After
we had to kill him. We had to kill him.
Had to sniff him
dead. You have to pay your bets.
Well, speaking of sniff him.
Let's see.
Guys,
what find out about this guy.
I don't like I don't like where the Tiger Woods story is going.
Why? Tell us.
Well, the probable cause for a misdemeanor, which would allow them to get the black box, we know that's happening. So they're going to investigate and try to get a hold of that. Now we're learning a man, in fact, found Tiger Woods unconscious in his SUV after the crash in Southern California, authorities said in court documents. The man lives near the site in Rolling Hills Estates. He heard the crash, walked over, and according to the sheriff's deputy, it's written in the affidavit that he was unresponsive to questions. The first deputy on the scene said that Woods was able to talk and answer basic questions. And Woods told him he didn't know what happened. Guys, I don't know why. I don't want this to be true. I want everything to be okay, and I'm hopeful that it was a simple error. But the way the story has sort of gone from this super aggressive denial by the police initially, like, no, don't even think about anything, which was sort of the tone of the police early. You guys would agree. It was very aggressive. Well, we didn't even consider that, so get that out of your head now.
I disagree. I think their tone was we didn't find anything.
I don't know what you're worried about. They did tests on the blood when he got to the hospital. They said there was nothing there.
They did tests?
Yeah, I believe they did.
I don't think they did. I thought they did not. I thought that was the whole thing. Because they ruled that there was nothing there, they decided not to do it.
I thought that they did.
Now their request. Am I wrong?
I said I could be wrong, but I thought they did test the blood. If you got into a crash like that, wouldn't you lose consciousness?
That's what I was wondering. When they said he didn't remember, I mean, yeah, wouldn't he be concussed?
100%. So that part to me is not what I'm worried about at all. You're right. Yeah, that's totally normal. Why wouldn't he be completely unconscious? I'm not saying that what I don't like about it is like anything of Tiger's behavior. It's just sort of the way the story's unfolding. I don't know. It's just that. I kind of thought we were done and there wasn't going to be much. Well, then we find out they need probable cause for a misdemeanor to get the black box. They're getting that. Now we hear a report. It just feels like there's more digging.
Could it be just the speeding was excessive? What if you find out he was going like 100 miles per hour?
That's not great. I know somebody that
knows that area. It's a very like scary road. It's
everyone
dangerous.
Says that. Yeah.
Now I'm reading the story here, and it said, "Who's this guy Schlogel?" LA County Sheriff's Deputy Jonathan Schlogel had previously told USA Today that he did not seek a search warrant for Woods' blood samples, which could be screened for drugs and alcohol. So he didn't.
Right.
And Sheriff Alex Villanueva said that Woods was driving alone in good weather and there was no evidence of impairment and the crash was, quote, purely an accident.
Now, there is the original thought was it's a road. It's one of those two lanes each direction highways. I think it's two lanes each direction. And it's one of those roads where the speed limit's like 40, but people go 80. We all know roads like that. There are roads like that where people always go way faster than the speed limit.
And he's going over 100, let's just say for sake of argument, does that become a criminal offense if they find out that his speed was that excessive and it led to that kind of an accident? I don't know. Right.
Anyways,
Ryan Smith, owner of the Utah Jazz.
Right.
Mormon.
Let's ask Steve.
Are you ready to make that bet?
I feel better than ever.
Michael, text him.
I'm not bothering him with this.
What's
he doing?
Steve's in the tech world, too. Google it. I bet you'll find a picture of them together, Don.
All right, you know what?
It will not take long. The Mormon community is close.
Now, Don, have you seen a picture of the guy? Because I saw an interview with him on Jeremy Shapps Outside the Lines. He looks like Ken Burns if Ken Burns didn't have that hair. Like if Ken
and
Burns,
what you mean
like
by that hair, you
hair
mean like
gel.
He cut it with a bowl?
Right, right.
Oh, yeah. Actually, you know, who does he look like? Yeah.
He used to, listen to this, Peter. Talk about living the dream. He's a legitimate basketball junkie, plays every day, and had a seat on courtside next to the Miller family. Larry Miller owned the Jazz forever. And he kept telling them over and over and over again, every game, if you ever want to sell the team, if you ever want to sell the team, if you want. And finally, Mrs. Miller said, you know what, we're ready to sell the team. And he paid like top dollar for it. Because he's got top dollar. He invented something. We don't invent anything
and Steve
except
is,
for great entertainment.
Steve's in the big tech. Steve's big in the tech world, too.
Steve's not a billionaire.
No, not a billionaire.
God, he looks like somebody. Not Bill Burr, but he kind of looks like somebody.
Ken Burns.
Definitely not a billionaire.
No, he doesn't look like a billionaire. He looks like a skateboarder. He looks like Tony Hawk.
So here's a tweet. Just an FYI, Rosenberg Radio. Investigations take more than a day or two. Stop glorifying a cheating, selfish piece of trash who ruined his kids' lives by bleeping anything that walked.
Whoa.
Oh.
Wow. I got to tell you, I saw Charlie at that golf tournament a few months ago. I don't know the kid personally. Life didn't look ruined. Looked like they were pulling it together. I think the Woods family in the end is going to be okay. Talk about jumping out the window. Sheesh.
That is somebody that clearly does not like Tiger Woods.
Yeah, you've drawn a line in the sand about Tiger Woods. My God, man, relax. Oh, his avatar. It's actually Elon Woods' brother. They're hugging in the picture. Okay, Aaron Boone's feeling better. Let's hear from the Yanks manager, a little update on his health.
Just wanted to thank everyone that's reached out to me, prayed for me. The support over the last couple of days has been overwhelming in a lot of ways, and I'm so grateful for it and grateful for the Yankees that have been really supportive through this and just been there to whatever I need. So I feel great. I think I've touched base with some of you guys, but I can't believe how good I feel. It makes me really glad that I got this done because I certainly the last couple of months have not felt anywhere close to how I felt this morning, even yesterday morning getting out of the hospital. So really excited about it, excited to get back, but really just wanted to extend my gratitude to everyone I've heard from so many people the last couple of days, and that's been really touching and humbling, and I'm just really appreciative of that.
Happy to hear he's doing
I'll
better.
Tell you what, Peter, he was genuinely legitimately moved by the outpouring of affection from people around the world. He was just startled by it.
Yeah, I guess you may not realize. I mean,
well, and it has nothing to do with the manager that he is. It has everything to do with the person that he is.
Well, put aside.
He has never, ever big time people. He's just not that guy. Everybody who meets him really likes him a lot because he's a genuinely good guy.
I will go to my limited experience with him before he became the Yankee manager, when he was working at ESPN. The two times that I saw him, one time at Citi Field, one time up in Bristol when I was doing the World Cup of Hockey, both times he saw me from a distance, called me over, shook my hand, talk about the show. And we barely really knew each other. But he would always go out of his way to say hello. And that's a genuine person to me.
I defy anybody that has ever had an interaction with that guy that they came away disappointed. He's just not that guy. He's just a genuinely good dude. Even when he was a player, I mean, so many people were happy for him when he hit that home run to send the Yankees to the World Series. Everybody likes him. Nobody dislikes him. He's an honorable guy.
Now, once you become a manager of a team and your team doesn't win, yeah, you might lose fans and all that. But from a person standpoint, what's not to like about the guy? He's so genuine and real.
Yeah, he's wonderful. Shouts to Aaron Boone. By the way, guys, I have so many more stories. Let's take a break and do a little bit more ENN on the other side.
You sure you want to do that?
Have to.
You have to? Is that many?
We haven't even mentioned a lot. I don't want to say it.
We haven't even mentioned a lot. The Michael Kay Show on 98.7 ESPN is brought to you by GEICO. The real value in car insurance isn't how much you save. It's also the kind of service you get. Good thing GEICO's been perfecting both for over 75 years. It's Kay LaGreca-Rosenberg and you, ENN Part 2, coming up on Yes and 98.7 ESPN.
Thanks for listening to the Michael Kay Show podcast.
Hey, buddy, hey.
Catch the show on demand wherever you want. Just subscribe to us wherever you get your podcasts.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to Amazon.com/ESPN Pods. That's Amazon.com/ESPN Pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
All right, we're back, and Peter has more Ian for you. Peter?
Sure I do. Real quick bit of news here, Don.
Yes.
Some sad news from the Miracle on Ice hockey team, huh?
Yeah, Mark Pavlich passed away today. He had gone through tremendous issues with mental illness, and I believe, Peter, you might have the story there. I think he actually died at a facility. So his life really just had been just a mess the last few years. You feel terrible for him, but really major contributor to that 1980 team. And we're just a few weeks removed from, or just a couple of weeks removed from the anniversary, the 41st anniversary. And he was a really good, solid NHL player, played for the Rangers, but really very difficult last decade for him.
Yeah, he was found dead at a treatment facility in Minnesota. We'll pick things back up. Alex Smith, no more in Washington. It is all over.
Yeah, now you pick me up.
Well, it's not over for his life. I'm happy for him. He doesn't have to spend any more time hanging out with Dan Snyder, eating oatmeal raisin cookies in the suite. I think Alex Smith will probably get a job somewhere. He'll probably back up next year, no?
Yeah, we talked about this before. He'll get a job as a backup. I don't know if he'll be signed as a starter, but could start again. Every backup is just a hit away from starting.
Would you sign him as a backup? I mean, one hit could be his last hit all the time. I mean, his leg's not very strong. I mean, he did a great job. I don't know if he's going
to
be a backup.
If you're a team that's willing to carry three, then I would absolutely have him. And there are teams that do. And, guys, what have we learned over the last couple of years? The drop-off from starters to backups in this league is insane. Mm-hmm. So, yes, he is not someone who can come in for you and you can rely on him for eight games. I think that would be a lot. However, you're in the middle of a game, you're up by seven, and you need someone who can hold on to that lead for two quarters. He might be the top one that I would want, honestly, for that purpose. So we'll see. And also, I read an interesting article by our friend J.P. Finley for NBC Sports in Washington saying, while it's sad to see the Alex Smith run come to an end in Washington, it's a good indicator if you're a Washington fan, because Dan Snyder loves Alex Smith, and Ron Rivera has known the entire time that the football decision was to let go of him. So it's maybe a nice indicator that Ron Rivera is actually running that football team. So I'll take that as a...
No, it's a good point.
I'll take that as a silver lining. Not a good story coming out of LSU, guys.
No, it's not what you want.
A 2013 internal investigation at LSU accused Les Miles of inappropriate behavior toward female students, but did not find that Miles had sexual relationships with any of the women, according to a report released by the university Thursday. According to the investigative report, reported by USA Today and obtained by ESPN, he was accused of contacting former female students via Facebook and text, meeting them off campus alone, and kissing at least one of them. Miles' attorney said the coach, now at Kansas, continues to deny the allegations. LSU reprimanded Miles after the investigation and ordered him to no longer be alone with student employees. I know what Michael's going to say. Does it make sense that someone gets cleared of it and says they did not find that it happened, but then has to say he can no longer be alone with student employees and have him reprimanded? Well, did it happen or not?
The AD suggested, you know, recommended that he be fired, and LSU said no. Also, let's say that this happened and you're Les Miles and you're hitting on co-eds. You're Les Miles. You're the most famous guy on campus. You think it's going to be fly under the radar? You're making out with a co-ed and it's never going to get out?
But that's when you're drunk with power.
I mean, there's so many stooges in the world.
But you're drunk with power and think that, you know, you can do whatever you want.
And let's be honest, it was managed to be kept under wraps for 8 years.
Well, see, that just adds more fuel to it, right? Well, I've been doing it for this long and nobody said anything.
Hey, Andrew, you happy that Jason Kelce is returning for an 11th season and restructuring his contract with the Eagles?
Of course. Of course I am. One of their best players.
How do you feel about him wasting the last years of his career?
Not as good. But we'll still be happy to have him, of course.
Of course. I know what it's like. I've seen many players' careers wasted. Wasted, wasted.
Do you know that Andrew's such a big Philadelphia fan that yesterday, I believe, or the day before, the Phillies beat the Yankees 15-0, and he was gloating?
Oh, man, was I?
I am sure he was just having fun.
No. He was feeling his oats. I said, well, you should be good. You have a Yankee manager.
Just take the L.
I love this story. Izzy Adesanya, who's in the main event of UFC 259 tomorrow against Jan Blokowicz, whatever. Okay. Honestly, who cares? I'm watching the fight for Israel. I'm watching the fight for Israel Adesanya.
Blachowicz. Jan Blachowicz.
Jan Blachowicz.
Wasn't he the former governor of Illinois?
Yes. Blachowicz. Rod, I believe his name is.
Blachowicz, right?
Yeah. He got pardoned, I think.
This guy's name they're saying is Jan, what is it? Blachowicz?
Blachowicz.
Blachowicz.
We got to do something with these Eastern European spellings. It's enough is enough.
I don't think it should be a problem for the greatest broadcaster of all time.
Fine. You know what? You know what you're right about, Michael? I need to own that I am the greatest broadcaster of all time. Right. And instead of worrying about how it's pronounced, I'm going to read it the way I see it. Israel Adesanya turned out to be much lighter than his opponent for UFC 259 on Saturday night, Jan Blachowicz. Adesanya weighed 200.5 pounds at the official weigh-in this morning, and he didn't even strip down as athletes usually do. He wore sweats, and immediately after he got off the scale, a corner man brought him a box of pizza.
And then I think the guy he's fighting said, I'm shocked that you would cast aspersions on people's looks when you're hideous in your own right.
Why would he say that, you think? That's an opinion.
Because he was wearing sweatpants. Don't they usually strip down to nothing?
Yeah, but he's light. Honestly, this is not a problem any of us on this show relate to. He was too light, and he doesn't want to be too light for Blachowicz.
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 The greatest broadcaster in history, Don. Don't correct him.
Listen, I'll tell you what, though. It is a pretty good card tomorrow. I mean, I'm a little sick of UFC. I know I shouldn't say it because I work for ESPN and we make copious amounts of money with UFC. I mean, every week they're charging $75.
And by the way, UFC is going to have a big card they said in Texas now that they've opened up the whole state.
Of course it's a big card. Every Saturday's a big card. My agent, Dipperstein, oh, you watching this week? It's a big one. It's a big one every week. Now, this one actually is a pretty big one. Amanda Nunez on the card, Thiago Santos. There are actually some great names on this card. But week to week, it'll send you to the poorhouse. Don, did you see the Sean Avery video earlier?
I was searching for it. I just saw still photos. I need to see the video. I heard it's a creep show.
I got a word for you. We use it on the show regularly, and it couldn't be more true here. Troubling.
He's a strange cat, man.
Would you ever want to see Sean Avery quickly jogging up to you in your side view mirror? Because that's what's happening. And then he ends up, I guess he claims that a motorist hit him while he was jogging. So he chases after this guy's car and sort of argues with the guy and lays on his hood. And then as the guy drives away, in very hockey player fashion, punches his side view mirror off.
I got to see the video. I finally found it.
And in other creepy news, Zach LaVine of the Chicago Bulls had to call the police after an allegedly obsessed woman showed up in his home. Michael, this is something you relate to. She refused to leave on Thursday night. She supposedly traveled from out of state demanding to speak with LaVine, who's an all-star for the first time this year.
Well, why do I relate to this? Well, what are you talking about?
Obsessed women wanting to run to your every move, break into your home, do anything to be with you.
Yeah.
That's never happened to Michael, has it, Michael?
Obsessed women?
Oh,
no.
They're breaking to your home. I'm sure there have been women.
All you do is ring the bell.
Really?
Back in the day, yeah.
Do tell.
And sometimes you just leave the door open, from what I heard.
No, I was very discerning.
And Tom Brady's rookie card. I don't know if you guys have any extra money laying around in the ashtray, Michael. Tom Brady's rookie card, the autographed 2000 playoff contenders championship ticket card, graded an 8 with a 10 grading on the signature. We all know what that means. It was purchased by James Park, a known card collector, big Brady fan. How much did the card go for, guys?
$8 million.
Don?
A real it says it on the screen, Don. It says it on the screen.
I don't have the screen up. I'm looking for the Avery
video. $1.32 million.
How do you
How
see
much?
That?
$1.32 million.
That's ridiculous. Yep.
Tell you what, Gary Vee was right about these cards. I think a lot of the stuff that's going on with cards right now is, like, ridiculous and not going to last. I think these numbers are getting completely inflated. And
well, all of these collected. Did you see that the Winston Churchill picture that Brad Pitt gave to Angelina Jolie?
Yeah.
He bought it like for $1 million, something like that, mm-hmm. and she sold it like 8 years later for $12.35 million.
How much?
$12.35 million. It's out of control.
But it's unique. It's a painting by Winston Churchill done during World War II.
You know what? I'm glad you guys brought that up.
I'm surprised that Winston had the time to paint during World War II.
Oh, it was his actual art?
Yeah.
All right, we got to go to break here. I want to show you this on camera, though. Tell me you think the value I'd get for this, okay? I don't know if it's Winston Churchill valuable, but Don, I'm going to pull this out as we go to break here.
I'm going to need that as a drop, please.
Yeah, I was just going to say.
Thanks.
Not on brand, but it's funny.
What do you think I could get for this?
Why does he do this, Don? He knows we're 15 minutes behind.
Right, I was going to say, I'll get it
this
just
is
before
a beautiful,
the Ranger pregame.
I believe it's from 1986. I've had it. It was on my wall. So extra value to it because
who
it was.
Those people?
That's the Killer Bees. B. Brian Blair and Jumping Jim Bronzell.
I think you get $7.50.
Look
no,
at those
no,
trunks.
No. I bet you somebody would give you like $150. $200?
I think Michael may be right. That'll do it for ENN on this Friday evening.
All right, when we come back, are we checking in with the big
fella? Oh, the big fella's coming on.
Oh, dear God, we have to.
Oh, yes, we do. Chris Carlin coming up next on Yes at 98.7 ESPN.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast. Hear more of Michael, Don, and Peter live weekday afternoon starting at 2:55 on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey, Alexa, play 98.7 ESPN.